morning, folks. Welcome to Bruce Dickens Show here on AM 1390 WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. Just got off the phone with Larry. He is on his way. He made a tactical error, made a wrong turn, but he'll be here very shortly. So before he gets here, how about we just play a little music?
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Oh, I wish I was in Dixie. Take my stand to live and die for Dixieland. It's where I was born. Early Lord, one frosty morn. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Holy glory, hallelujah. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. I have been joined by Larry Eckhart. He is the flagman, able to make it in. By the way, you want to move that microphone probably a little bit closer. There you go. You've been talking to media all over the place the last few days, I'll bet, haven't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
I was in Albion yesterday, and I saw the Channel 14 trucks there, and they probably grabbed you. How often... I tell you what we'll do. I'm going to let Larry catch his breath, and we're going to I'm going to get him something to drink, and we'll talk about all kinds of things, how he got started, how he became the flagman, and we'll have all kinds of other stuff to talk about here on the Bruce Dickey Show, along with Larry the Flagman Eckhart when we return after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. My guest across the way is Larry Eckhart from Little York, Illinois. Larry is affectionately known. I guess who named you the flagman? Just people who saw you walking around with flags or something like that?
You know, we started this 12 years ago, and it just got tagged on me the first year. I don't know why.
Yeah. I wonder why.
You know. Doesn't everybody have that many flags?
How do you... let me ask you, first of all, Larry, how did you get started? I know that... first of all, I guess before we get to how you get started, what exactly do you do for people who don't realize what you spend your spare time doing? You still have a job, don't you, or are you retired?
I'm semi-retired.
Semi-retired. All right. Tell people what you feel the need to do. It's not that you like to do it, but you feel the need is there, don't you?
Yes. What we do, and we've done it twice here in Fairfield. We did it for Jamie Lowe and
Michael Bartley, too.
Michael Bartley.
Right.
What we do is we find out where the soldiers have gone down, and we contact the town or the village and make sure it's okay with them, and then the undertaker will usually talk to the family. Because what our goal is we bring in our flags, we line the funeral route with them, and in my way of thinking, as long as my flags are remembered, that young man or woman is going to be remembered. And like I say, it works. We put the word out. Yesterday in Albion, we had over 200, possibly 250 people show up.
Yeah, Lynn was saying on the morning show today that there were a bunch of high school kids that were there, and that must do you some real proud to
see
that. Well,
not only the high school kids, but we had parents take their grade school kids out of school.
Oh, really?
And they brought them, and you know, that's the whole thing. The kids are just super. We had one town where the Girl Scouts had a competition with the Boy Scouts to take down the flags.
And that kidding.
That was in Wisconsin. And I'll guarantee you the Boy Scouts got spanked. them girls took down them flags like in just
efficient.
Minutes. Yes.
Efficient. Larry, where are you from?
Little York, Illinois. It's about 98 miles northwest of Peoria.
How close to Wisconsin and Iowa is that?
Iowa, I'm about 7 miles.
Okay.
From Iowa. Wisconsin, it's about a 3-4 hour drive.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So you're pretty far western Illinois.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm only...
You're south of the Quad Cities.
Yeah, I'm only 6 miles from the river as a crow flies.
Oh, is that right? Okay,
unless somebody shoots him.
Your drive down to here then 6 hours?
Yeah.
Tell us how you got started in this, because this to me, it's a fascinating, I don't know what to call it. It's not a hobby. It's
an obsession.
It's a calling.
It's an obsession.
Obsession can be taken wrong. I like to call it a calling. Will that work for you?
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay. It's a calling. How did you get started on this calling?
We had a soldier, young man, went down early in the war.
In the most recent, the Afghan war? Or?
No, in Iraq.
Oh, okay.
And when he came back, the military was still bringing him back on cargo flights.
Uh-huh.
So that tells you how early it was. They were late coming into Chicago, so the people just kept gathering to welcome him home. And there was probably 2,000 people waiting for that young man to come home.
To man that fellow to get to the city?
Yeah.
To get to, was it to Galesburg or to
Louisville? It was to Aledo.
Oh, okay, Aledo.
And as I was standing there waiting, looked around, and there was only about 100 flags.
Really?
And I thought, you know, this isn't right. These young men and women, they die.
For the country.
Yeah, for us. But yet again, then I got to thinking, you know, most towns cannot afford to have 2,000 flags or anything even close to that. So we bought 50, and then as we got donations, we bought another 50 and another 50, and now we're up to 2,480 flags.
What's your goal on the number of flags? Do you have a set limit, do you think? Or
we hopefully are going to get 2,996. That's the amount that went down in 9/11.
Okay. Well, I Lynn had said you had a goal of a number, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
But that makes what made you choose that number, you think?
Because that's the amount of people that died. Yeah. And ever since we got started, people would say, well, what's the number mean? What's the significance of the number of flags you got? And to be truthful, up until now, it was the amount I could haul.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, your trailer, how many, do you have room for another 500?
Yep. We just rebuilt the van. We went from 4 leaf springs to 10. So it'll haul a few more.
Do most of the flags that you get, are they donated to you? Or I know the monetary donations come, but where does one find 2,500 flags? Because I could go out to Kincaid's or something and get like two.
Yeah. Well, we get ours off the internet. We've got a company we work with. But to tell you one better than that, this coming September in St. Louis, there's going to be over 7,700 flags put up down there at the park.
The Soldiers Memorial?
It's at Art Hill.
Oh, okay.
And each one of them will be identified with the soldier's name that went down.
What's the occasion?
It's the 15th anniversary of 9/11.
Oh, wow.
So it's...
Are you participating in that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be there. We'll be there to help put up the flags, and I'll be there to display my fireman's memorial that travels with me. And
what did you do for a living before you retired?
I was a shoppie. I worked at International Harvester.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Yeah. Back making combines.
How much, I hesitate to ask you, but you're of retirement age.
Yeah. Depends on who you talk to. I myself, I'm still 15, but if my body wants to talk to you, it tells a different story.
Yeah, I know how that goes too. So you got started with 50 flags. What was the first funeral occasion you did outside of the one that you saw? How did that start? Did you approach the funeral director? Did you approach the family and say, hey, look,
I approached the town.
You approached the town.
Yeah. And then as we grew bigger, we started getting everybody involved.
Yeah.
You know, because once we got up past 800, there's just no way I could do it myself.
Had you been doing it yourself for that long?
Yeah.
Oh, you see, now the ones here, because you've been in Albion before as well, haven't you?
No, this is the first time
in
Albion. Okay,
I didn't know. I thought you were there for when Forrest Justice was killed back in 04, but I wasn't.
No.
Okay. So you started then in 03 or 04, probably?
Well, it was 12 years ago, going on 12 years ago. So, yeah, it would have been about 04 or earlier 05.
How did you figure out to what looks best? How did you figure out what looks best? Just trial and error? I guess my question is, for the folks listening, if you haven't driven to Albion to see it, especially now with the snow, it's going to be beautiful. And if you haven't seen it, the flag's 30 feet apart as you're driving through. It feels like you're in just a regal procession type of thing, doesn't it? I mean, I guess that's what you're going for.
That's what we're going for. To be truthful, I've always said if you could drive through my flags and not have it touch you in one way or another, I don't want to know you.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen, we did one funeral in Alexis, Illinois, which is a small town up north. And the family obviously knew I was doing it.
Yeah.
They hit town and the grandfather sat in the back seat, and he started saluting. And he saluted all the way through town because he was he had served in World War II. You know,
yeah.
It was a military family, and it touched him so much that he held that salute.
Wow.
And his granddaughter was sitting beside him, and she was constantly wiping his tears off, you know. So it does touch people, and it touches people in a way that they, my goal is as long as my flags are remembered, the young man or young woman will be remembered.
Yeah.
You know, like the two we did here, Jamie Lowe and Michael Bartley.
Right.
You know, I know the town still remembers
sure.
my flags.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Still see them here.
Yeah.
Still see them. You'll still see folks with the signs up on there, and you'll even on like the fast food restaurants, you'll still remembering Sergeant Barkley, that kind of thing.
And you know, that's the thing that we've always, this country, the one complaint I've ever had about this country, and it's not the people, well, it used to be the people too. They wanted to treat our soldiers like a disposable lighter.
Yeah,
they wanted to use use every bit of fire out of them and then just forget them. Well, even Korea, you know, them guys, if you weren't the first bunch coming home, people didn't get involved.
Really?
And, you know, you got to thank our troops because without them, we're in trouble.
You know, you've got a perspective on that probably most people don't have in that. You see a lot of folks, at a terrifically low point.
Yeah.
And do you, does it come, let me ask it this way. As a family, I've never experienced a family member lost to battle or war or something like that. As a family member, do they appreciate heavily what you do, or at the time, or does it hit them later? I guess is what I'm wondering. Does the breadth of what is going on, is it just too big for them to realize the help the other folks are doing at the same time?
The prime example, Troy, Illinois, we did one for a young man who ultimately ended up winning the Silver Star. And 2 years later, I was in O'Fallon, Illinois, and I'm standing there because when the funeral's going on and visitation's going on, I just kind of float and help any way I can. But I felt somebody tugging on my jacket and turned around. It was a little short gal, about 5'2", if she's lucky, and the tears were just flowing. And she says, "Larry," she says, "I don't know whether I ever thanked you," she said, "but I got to give you a hug."
And it was, really?
And it was her son that we had buried two years before.
See, now that's what I figured. That's kind of why I asked the question, Larry, is that you got to figure that the folks, well, the Cunninghams now, they've been dealing with that loss for 46 years. And you've got to figure that that the families are just so blown over by just having to deal with the loss,
right,
that any sustenance you're able to give them emotionally, it may not be seen or realized at the time. And I guess that's my question, making sure that the folks do realize.
Yeah, they do. And that's why we encourage everybody to photograph the flags and stuff.
Yeah.
The thing that irritates me about, and people don't understand, there is no such thing as closure.
Right.
You know, these families, they've got such a terrible loss that they can't get over it.
Yeah.
I got a Gold Star mother, and I got a kick out of her. But yet again, it's sad.
What do you mean, Gold Star mother?
The Gold Star mother is a mother that's lost a son.
Oh, okay.
And she told me one day, she says, "Larry, this is my new normal." She says, "Sometimes in the morning I wake up, I cry."
Yeah.
She says, "Sometimes when I sit down to eat my lunch, I cry." And she says, "When I go to bed, I cry."
Mm. I'm talking with Larry Eckhart. It's Larry the Flagman to you, Larry the Flagman to me, and it's a tremendous thing he does. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things that that he and his friends do throughout the country, as they support our soldiers as they come back home. We're on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back after these. that right? Well, that's great. I'm talking to Larry Eckhart, the flag man. We've been talking about various things. How many do you think? How many? By the way, before I get on with Larry again, I do have a note. Jasper Jeff volleyball practice has been canceled for today. So if you're a volleyball practice for Jasper Jeff, your volleyball is canceled for today. How many of these do you know how many you've done over the years?
Yeah, I've done this is my 169th one.
Is that right? How far and wide have you done the presentations? The flag stuff.
For my military or for my soldiers, my heroes and firemen and policemen, we cover 14 states.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we try to cover 14 states.
What's the farthest from Little York you've gone? South Dakota or?
No, we've been to Kansas. We've been to Arizona.
Oh, really?
Been to Arkansas. We've gone down into Tennessee, Kentucky. Matter of fact, Kentucky made me a colonel.
Really?
Of course, they didn't give me the recipe, so I don't
know. or tell you how to become an auctioneer.
Yeah. But, yeah, we've done Kentucky several times, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Indiana, we do a lot of. You know, we just basically cart. Ohio is the furthest east. No, if you want to count D.C., we've been to D.C., too.
Get a little closer to that microphone.
We've been to D.C. too, so we were invited out there.
Where did you set up in D.C.? Was it
Constitution Hall?
Was it for somebody going into Arlington?
No, they premiered the movie Honor Flight. It was on December 7th, and we have the only flags that have ever been authorized to be flown in D.C.
Is that right?
And they're flying over Cunningham now.
No kidding.
Yeah. So it's kind of, it was a neat trip. I had never been to D.C.
Really?
And they invited me out to decorate Constitution Avenue.
How many flags were you able to get up there before you ran out of room?
We had up probably about 600, 700. Wow. D.C. is so wrapped up with national parks and stuff that you'd
you'd be stepping on somebody's toes from one point to the other.
We did.
Yeah.
But the DAR and the people behind it says, oh, well.
That's good. Tell me about, you mentioned in the break, tell me about your trip to Danville last week. This is a fascinating story.
Danville, Illinois, we were extremely honored. And it'll be one I'll never forget. We honored a young man, placed a stone.
I'll stop you. I don't think it sounds like you've ever forgotten any of them, Larry.
You know, I still remember the Lowe family, you know.
Yeah.
To me, once I do a funeral for somebody.
They're part of your family.
They're part of my family.
Yeah.
I had a lady call me once and said everybody was making fun of her. And I said, why? And somebody had found out that she kept some of her son's clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, she would smell it.
Yeah, sure.
And they told her that she was crazy. And I told the young lady, I said, you know, in my opinion, you've earned the right to go up to the town square and dance naked if you want to.
That's exactly right.
I said, the only thing I'm going to ask you is one thing. And she says, what's that? And I said, call me so I can be on the way with bail money. You know, but they are my family, and I'd do anything for them I could.
All right, tell me about Danville again.
Danville, we were honored to bury a young man. He died when he was 52 years old.
Okay.
The unique thing about it is he died 168 years ago.
So doing the math in my head, you're looking at 1848.
Yeah, 1847.
1847 in the Mexican War.
Uh-huh. His family spent 10 years getting the documentation. He had died in a hospital in Mexico, and they just buried him in a mass grave.
Yeah.
And that was cool because they actually had the reenactors there to do it the old-fashioned way.
Wow.
And the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, what is the differences between the old-fashioned? I guess I just played a Sousa march about 20 minutes ago. You're not going to have that.
No.
there was no Sousa yet.
The biggest difference in some of our people that are really wrapped up in flag
some
etiquette.
Some of our rituals.
They would have a heart attack because they didn't have flag. Back in 1847, most families didn't have a flag.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you see on TV, they had more important things to do.
Right. They weren't putting up flags to say, "Hey, look, I'm stay away Indians or whatever."
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had a flag and it was 30 star.
Uh-huh.
And what they did back then is they unfurled it and held it over the grave.
Okay.
And then they'd roll it back up and they'd lay the flag on the ground on top of the grave.
Oh, really?
For 5 minutes. I don't know what the significance of 5 minutes was, but that's what they did. And they'd fire the volley off over the flag. And then they'd pick the flag up and take it back with them.
Was it 21 guns yet back then? Or how?
It was three volleys.
Three volleys?
Yeah, it was three volleys.
Or not 21 shot, I guess.
Yeah, it just three volleys. It can be back. The ones that did it up there, there was three of them there.
I'm fascinated by this. Did they use
They used the black powder.
You knew my question. I was wondering if they were using like musketry.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
They were using black powder, and they also were in their full cotton uniforms.
Yeah.
You know, which the Friday, it helped them stay warm because it was chilly up there, too.
Well.
Not as cold as my ex-wife's heart, but pretty close.
Well, you know, it's amazing. And when you we've talked mainly about soldiers, but one of the other bad things happens. It's too bad. But you also have you've done the flag stuff at firefighters and policemen, haven't you?
Right. We've buried so far in the last year. I haven't gotten used to being 2016
no,
yet.
No.
But over the last year, we buried three policemen. And we started off the year, we buried four firefighters.
Wow.
And we actually have the only traveling fireman's memorial in the country, as far as I know.
Is that right?
And it goes with me whenever we do a fireman's funeral.
What is the fireman's memorial?
Oh, I wish
it's something you don't really want to see because that means you're doing a funeral.
Although I'm going to try and get it down here for Fairfield Fire Department for one of their fundraisers.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. But the firefighters, if you've ever been to a fireman's funeral, they carry chrome axe and they carry a chrome pike for their final salute. And what this is, it's a beautiful display of a turnout coat and a helmet. And then we've got the crossed chrome-plated axe and pike on above it. And then on each side, there one side will be the fireman's emblem, and the other side will be the picture of the young firefighter that we're burying.
Tell me a little bit about, I guess, most of the collection of flags. You still have a few hundred flags you're wanting to get up to get to your 2,996. How often do you have to replace them? You've had 10 years of flags now.
Yeah, and we have...
And they're out for 3 days in a pretty windy weather right now. You've done it a few
times. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to start replacing some of them now because they get worn, they get faded, they get tore. 2 years ago, we replaced over 3,000 flags that year.
Do you get folks? Wow, really?
Yeah.
Do you get folks making donations to you, or how's that work?
Yeah, that's to be truthful. That's the main source.
Yeah.
Obviously, I can't afford to buy flags or pay the gas and stuff. But, the year we bought 3,000, we put them all new for a funeral, put them up, and that night a 60-mile-an-hour crosswind came through. And it just shredded some of them.
You know, that's the thing. Folks don't even think about the practicalities of what you're doing.
I tell everybody that we are probably the only person in the country that actually has to fumigate his van every year in order to get rid of the spiders.
Well, yeah.
Because the spiders like the warmth of that steel pole and they'll crawl inside and then we load them up and they go home with me.
All right, you're begging the question. Have you been, driving down the road and you seen some new little friends show up?
Oh, yeah. That's why we fumigate it at least once a year. Or you get in and you got to brush them away to get to your key. put your key in.
Yeah. You bring up, you mentioned you have done this in 14 different states. Are you the only one doing this in the country? Or are there other folks that you know of? I mean, probably a pretty small group.
It's a small group of insane people.
Yeah.
We've got a group getting started in California.
Yeah. You know, that's a big enough state. That's almost like three states over here.
Yeah, and then we've got a guy in Texas that is starting it. The one in California, we're sending him pictures of the punchers we use and stuff to help him get started. And there's a couple people out on the East Coast. Nobody covers the area like I do. Most of them stay within 100 miles of home.
Do you think it's a – is it – I guess I'm going to – I'm not gonna, I was going to ask you a sociological question. I wondered if it's something cities don't do because there's any place to put the flags.
That's a lot of it. And also, to be truthful, if you figure up the price of them – yeah. Most of your cities anymore are operating on a budget that is beyond tight.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them are robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Right.
And how do you justify having 2,000 flags on the chance that you might need them someday?
Well, if somebody wants to contact you or if folks want to call you, how do they do that? Just get a hold of... there are people in town that have your phone number.
Yeah, there's right. people in town that have my phone
contact
number.
Contact the VFW probably would have it. Len has it.
Or they can go on Facebook. It's under Larry and then the Flagman Eckhart. The Flagman is one word.
Well, you know, that's the thing. And the reason I'm saying this, I'm not asking for folks for donations, although that'd be fine. But there are people who I think the work that you do is sincerely appreciated throughout the town, and folks just don't know how to thank you for it. Yeah.
Well, the thing, and if they need the flags, God forbid, if they need the flags, you know, we will be more than happy if we're available to come back down. This area, Fairfield, Albion, the whole area is just fantastic. That's like when Len was talking to me about coming down, there was no doubt that I'd have enough volunteers.
Yeah.
And we had over 200, probably pretty close to 250 yesterday, ranging from age of, oh, I'd say 90 to 8.
Wow.
You know, and the people are great.
Well, on behalf of, I know I'm not speaking for anybody else but me and the folks that know me, on behalf of me and my crowd, I thank, and my audience, hopefully, we thank you very much for what you do, because I know that the families, I think it means a lot to them, let me put it that way.
The biggest thing there is, and I got to stress, you know, if you run across a Gold Star family, that's one that's lost a son, for God's sakes, don't go up to them and say, well, you'll get over it, because you don't get over it.
No.
You know, it's the idea of closure for anybody that's lost somebody they love is a myth.
Not there. Yeah.
It's a myth.
Larry, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. We'll talk to you all again tomorrow morning.